God has blessed this local assembly with so much talent. So much talent. Now tonight we are going to examine the implications of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. But we're going to do it in light of one aspect only tonight, which to me seems to be the most important, because I believe it is enshrined in the concept of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit burning. Now, I know some of the terminology may be new tonight, but if you listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church tonight, you will understand what the Word of God is conveying to you tonight through the lips of mere mortal clay. There are many tomorrow who will be what I like to call the C&E followers of the church, Christmas and Easter. And they will hear a lot about Isaiah 7:14 and maybe Isaiah 9:6. But I wonder how many of them will hear about Isaiah 4:4. In the New Testament, the Old Testament title, Spirit of Burning, is caught up in the words of John the Baptist when he said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This truth is again revealed on the day of Pentecost, where we read of tongues of fire, which is tied up with the whole nature and character of God himself, as revealed in Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Or again, in Revelation 1:15, that vision of Christ, whom John says, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Then there are many hymns, of course, in the hymn book that we have, hymns such as 55 and 303, 312, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, and all of those grand old hymns. But, beloved people, this aspect of the character of God, this title given in the Old Testament, Spirit of Burning, has been embodied and enshrined in scores of hymns and poems. Why? Because there are many people who felt they should express how they feel about the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, with this thought and this truth in our minds, let us turn now in our pages of our Bible to the scene on Mount Carmel where the fire of the Lord fell. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. Now here on Mount Carmel, we see the ministry of the Spirit of Burning. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And the people answered and said, it is well spoken. At this precise moment in the history of mankind, the nation was an apostate, an apathetic nation. There was the futility and failure of the state religion, that is, the state religion of that day. But in the midst of all of this, God was about to speak in a language that was understood by both the people of God and the heathen. And beloved, that is the significance. God was about to speak in a language that was known and understood by the people of God and by heathen alike. It is like music. Music is a common denominator. You can go anywhere in the world and hear how great thou art, played by Germans, Yugoslavians, Hungarians, it matters not. And the music will be recognizable. It is a language that communicates. And so God is about to communicate in a language that is both understood by the heathen and the people of God. And I want to tell you tonight on the authority of the Word of God that when Christ came into this world, God spoke in a language that both the heathen and the people of God could understand. Here on Mount Carmel, those solemn words are echoing in the hearts of all tonight who understand the significance of Almighty God. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Would you tonight be prepared to offer this nation those terms? Would you be prepared to offer these terms to an apostate and apathetic nation and say, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God? Would you? Let us ponder the effect that fire has. Verse 38 of 1 Kings 18 says, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When God the Holy Spirit is at work, is this not precisely what he does? Consumes everything. And is this not precisely what men expect him to do in us and through us in the world? The question before us all tonight, is he doing it? Isn't it wonderful that when the fire of the Lord fell, it licked up the water that was in the trench? Do you recall what Elijah said to the people? Come on, make this difficult for God. Get buckets of water and drench the sacrifice. Drench the wood, soak it, saturate it. And when you have done that, fill the trench. But when the fire of the Lord fell, everything was consumed. Did you know that every Christian church has folk like that? They are experts at using the bucket, and they just like to make things difficult for God. Let us now think of the impact that fire makes. When the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And the Bible clearly teaches that the conviction is the work of God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He has already come. So here on Mount Carmel, we see the work of God the Holy Spirit in his most wonderful and authentic ministry as the Spirit of burning. But we also see an obvious need for a man of God. Right in the center of this story, there moves the solitary and lonely figure of Elijah. As I understand my Bible, God's pattern and program always seems to be the same. He uses men to reach men and women, and it is always equally true that he proves men before he uses them. Firstly, please allow me to point out the futility that is exposed here on Mount Carmel. Already the priests of Baal had failed to reach a god of fire. For them, there was no spirit of burning. We read of this truth in verse 26 through 28 of 1 Kings 18. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. There was neither voice, nor any that answered, nor any that regarded. Oh my, this has a modern day counterpart where humanism is exalted above a holy and a righteous God. But listen very carefully now. Behind the background of that futility, there is a fidelity displayed. Yes, of this man Elijah, who was able to say, I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Here on Mount Carmel, this man stood all alone. On the one hand, he stood apart from the apathy of the people. On the other hand, he stood against the hostility of the ruling religious powers of the nation. Yes, beloved, all alone, Elijah stood in the presence of God. But he stood on Mount Carmel as God's representative. Are you standing on the Mount Carmel of today as God's representative? You may feel as though you are all alone, but you are not. If you, like Elijah, are faithful, God will vindicate you with the ministry of the Spirit of burning. Yes, the vindication of Elijah by God and then the swinging back of the whole nation to faith in God came about through the ministry of the Spirit of burning. There would be only a handful of Christians, if I may dare say so, in the entire world that I have met who would understand anything of the Spirit of burning. Most of our churches today could be burnt to the ground by the physical or material fire, and they would not have a clue about the Spirit of burning. There on Mount Carmel, the words, The God that answereth by fire, let him be God, revealed a ministry of God the Holy Spirit that has so often been overlooked. Here on Mount Carmel, there was more than the faithfulness of Elijah. There was God's acknowledgement of Elijah's obedience. In fact, Elijah had graduated from the school of obedience. 1 Kings chapter 17, we read of Elijah's first test in regard to obedience, which involved a response to a demand of which Elijah himself only was personally aware. Get thee hence and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. But nobody would have known if Elijah had disobeyed God, except Elijah and God. So this is the first test in the matter of obedience. The second test involved what I like to call a response to a demand which led to a situation that would be socially awkward. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. In simple language, Elijah, go sponge on a woman who is right at the end of her resources and who is a widow. Have you ever felt the strong command of God to obey, which would lead you into a situation which would be socially awkward and would involve someone else? Have you? Isn't it pathetic that when the Christian and the world clash, the Christian gives in and gives way and apologizes and withdraws? But Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. Then the third test in the matter of obedience led to a situation in which Elijah would be bitterly attacked. Chapter 18 and verse 1 and 2 says, The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be popular? Do you want to be the life of the party? Do you want to always be first? Or do you want to be hail fellow well met? Then, if so, then give up all thought whatsoever of being used in the service of God. Because God does not want you. God has no place for you in His plan and purpose in the evangelization of the lost. Because God cannot use those who are not fully committed to Him. Elijah stood there on Mount Carmel long ago, totally committed to the Lord God of Israel. And what if you were attacked from those within the church? Those who you thought were your friends. Have you ever been attacked? Have you ever been criticized? Have you ever been lied to? But Elijah, this man of obedience, went to Ahab, and Elijah, with a spirit of burning, was able to say, I have done all these things at thy word in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. So what do we now have before us? We have the authentic work of God. We have the obvious need of a man of God. But now we come to the exalted name. The exalted name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the fire fell, the one name that is ignored is Elijah. You know, have you ever met people who want to be first? You know, I was guilty of that sin as a young preacher long ago. I remember when I first learned to speak in public speaking, and I preached those first half a dozen sermons, and I was looking for everyone's approval. I wanted people to sort of come up and say, Wow, wasn't that terrific? The crowds will follow you. Don't you dare come up and say to me now, it's terrific. I'll come back and haunt you when I go to heaven if you do. You see, one of the most profound sins of the Christian church is to look for everyone's approval. I don't preach for your approval. You know that by now, don't you? What you think of my preaching doesn't mean that much to me, because the crowds will be with you today and against you tomorrow. And Elijah knew that. Elijah did not go seeking the approval of any man. Oh, he didn't stand on Mount Carmel and say, Wow, look at me, I am the prophet Elijah. He wasn't looking for recognition, because within Elijah the spirit of burning had control of Elijah. And as I look at this man of obedience, I see him now in that place of humility as the exalted name is presented to the people. And so when the fire fell, Elijah is ignored. Are you so devoted to the glory of God, to the will of God, that you are prepared to be ignored, to be demoted, to be slighted, to be criticized, to be hurt, and to let none of these things move you from a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Listen now to Elijah's prayer. A praise, this powerful prayer. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. And the Bible clearly teaches that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So the principle here is simply this. Elijah is ignored and the Lord is adored. And it was when the Lord was adored that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God." They didn't say Elijah is a great preacher. They didn't say Elijah is a great prophet. They said, "The Lord, He is God." It is now the Lord who is the subject of their conversation as they made their way down the slope of Mount Carmel. And oh my, the Lord was at the center. In fact, He was the theme of every conversation. And this, of course, is what always happens when the spirit of burning comes. Beloved, please listen very carefully. What was and what is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit? Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "He shall glorify me, the Lord Jesus Christ." There never has been a time when God the Holy Spirit did not glorify the Son. And before us tonight we have the authentic work of God, the obvious need of a man of God, and the exalted name of the Son of God. And I want to ask you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, would you on this Christmas Eve dare to offer the world the challenge of Elijah? The God that answereth by fire, let Him be God. For He is the spirit of burning. And tomorrow morning, by God's eternal grace, that matchless grace of God, the spirit of burning, will be the Lord Jesus Christ who has been given the preeminence. Let me say to you tonight, lovingly as a preacher of the gospel, don't you dare come here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. looking for a message on gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Don't you dare come here tomorrow morning looking for the cradle and the babe in the Bethlehem manger. Because tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. by God's eternal grace, we will break bread, and then at roughly 8:30 we will preach a gospel message. And at the end of that gospel message, there'll be an invitation. He is Christ. He is the Son of God. And when you know who He is, He'll revolutionize your life. And when you know who He is, you'll have within you, like Elijah had, the spirit of blood. Because you'll go out and you will dare to say to your friends of the world what Elijah said on Mount Carmel. May we pray. Our Father, we thank You that in the quietness we sense the warmth of Your holy presence. We thank You for Your nearness. Just be with us now, we pray.
We're going to sing a carol. It's very difficult to pick anything to match a message on the spirit of burning, but I thought we would sing as Christmas. We would sing, even though the theology's wrong, number 5, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that in the hours that wait now, before we remember the great event, that you will prepare us spiritually, prayerfully, that we may come expectingly and have within us that joy and excitement of the revealed truth of yourself. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from the triune God be with us now and always. Amen.